So does that sound familiar? You heard it last week here. This is part two. What I want you to do is to take this passage of Scripture, and I want you to read it. Before you read it, I want you to pray, God, speak to me through this Scripture. It's a powerful passage of Scripture, and it's got so much in it that I couldn't pack it all into one sermon. So this is part two. Remember seeing those shows, the old shows on TV, where they would have part one, and then you'd get halfway through the show, and then you'd be right in the middle of a really dramatic moment, and it would say, part two, next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and you had to wait a whole week, you know, to get to the part. How many of you remember that? And now we watch Netflix, right? And so you don't even have to wait like 10 seconds. It's right there. You get part two. And if you're watching the old shows, and I tend to watch those and enjoy them. So Paul is describing this one thing that we talked about last week. But he's also talking about this one thing as a journey, as if he's taking some kind of a trip. So when I was a student at Oxford, I traveled all the time. There were 10-week terms and then 8-week breaks. And during the 8-week breaks, I had to leave Oxford. I had to leave because they had conferences and different things going on at the university, and so they needed the space, right? So my room that I had was taken by somebody else who was coming to a conference. So I had to go somewhere. Well, if you're in England and you have to go someplace, I couldn't come back to the States. So I had to stay somewhere, either in England or travel Europe. So I decided I would buy a Eurail pass. And I spent 8 weeks traveling through Europe with a backpack during my breaks. I would get on a train. Before getting on the train, I would ask, as I was buying a ticket, I need a ticket, and if it was usually around 10 o'clock at night, I need to go somewhere that takes about 8 hours. And she would usually look at me and say, why do you want to go somewhere that takes 8 hours? And then I would say, and I would like a sleeper car, and I'm going to sleep and then end up somewhere. She said, you don't know where you want to go. I said, doesn't matter. Just send me somewhere. And so I went all over Europe and around the world, different places, and I would just spend 8 hours sleeping. So one morning I woke up in Amsterdam. Anybody ever been to Amsterdam? And I left the train station. It's kind of a downtown area. And I'm walking out of the train station, and I'm greeted by this interesting-looking fellow. And he recognized me as being an American. And he says to me, do you want to go on a trip? And I said, I'm already on one. Thanks, but no thanks. And I made my way through Amsterdam and got to see some interesting things.
You've been to Amsterdam, haven't you?
No, you haven't been. Nobody wants to say they've been to Amsterdam. But it's an interesting city. And so I spend time all over Europe, and I'm traveling, and I'm going to different places. And so throughout my ministry, I've collected travel books. Anybody like travel books? I love them. Like to read about different places. When I go into the bookstores or the library, I always go to the travel section. I've got books on tourist sites and books on art and architecture and books on hotels and books on restaurants and books on languages. And I have travel books that summarize travel books. And some of them I purchased for myself, and some of them have been given to me through the years. And I like them all. But one of them I like more than any of the others. And I recommend it to you. It's entitled The Road Within. Great title, isn't it? The Road Within. It's an odd kind of book, not so much a book about destinations, but a travel book. And it's essays written by artists and writers and people who have taken time to reflect on their personal journey, life-changing moments. It's kind of what we're doing on Wednesday night. Hearing each other's stories. Have you got a story? I'm always intrigued by people that come to me and they say, well, you've done all these great things, but I don't really have much of a story. I haven't done all those great things. I've not been to all these places. I don't really have a story. Or I'll share the story about when I became a Christian. Some of you may know it, some of you don't, but I was involved. The anniversary was October the 5th in an accident where my girlfriend was killed. She was 17 years old, and we got hit by a drunk driver. And I was uninjured. I was in one side, and she was in the other. She died in my arms, and that night, I asked Christ to come into my life. And I have people tell me, you have a story, but I don't have a story. I don't have that kind of story. You see, I grew up in the church. My parents took me to Sunday school, and I've always been in church, and I've never had anything tragic happen to me. You know what I say? I wish I had your story. That's a beautiful story. I'd much rather have yours. Your story needs to be told. So The Road Within is about your story. It can't compare to the epic travel films. I knew I was going to go here, so I decided to go someplace else. You know the movie that starts with the heart and inspires the mind? And it's one of my favorite travel films. It's National Lampoon's Vacation. You ever seen it? Intellectual brilliance. It really is. I mean, you gotta admit, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo. I mean, who can watch that film and not want to get in their car right away and take a trip to Wally World? We all want to go. And The Road Within is not quite like that, but it's good in its own way. So putting aside some of the disastrous car vacations that I'm sure you probably had at one time or another, I'm wondering, have you ever had a trip that changed you, fundamentally changed you, that opened up something within you that you didn't know you had? So this is your chance. I want you to share with your neighbor around you. You preach the sermon. When did you take a trip that you remember that has changed you within? Share with each other. You've got a few minutes. I'll give you some of my time. So what happens when we travel? I'm going to cut you off because I've got to finish my sermon. And so what happens when we travel? First and foremost, what happens is we face ourselves. And that's a good thing. It's good to face yourself. It's a profoundly religious thing, by the way. If we never break out of our patterns and our routines, then we can easily become like well-worn ruts. Same thing every day, all the time. Yeah? Like another great movie, Groundhog Day. Did you all see that one? I'm bringing out all the best. Now you know my genre of film that I like. You can see the kind of film that I enjoy. But it should have won an Oscar. It didn't, and I'm very disappointed by that. But life is rich. You know, life is rich. Human consciousness is without limit. Divine awareness is inexhaustible. But if you can experience some kind of new consciousness, then you can break away from yourself a little bit. It's risky. I got it. I know it is. It's risky. But you break away and you experience something new, different. And that's what travel does to us. And we don't always like it, do we? Because we've got to go to different places and eat different kinds of food and do different kinds of things. And we're not that kind of people. We are not always like that. When I was in Germany, I wound up in Germany one time in my many travels. And I was in Germany and I went to a restaurant and I was trying to eat some food and I don't know German. And so what do you do when you're at a restaurant and you're in a foreign country and you have a menu in front of you and you're trying to get something to eat? You look for something that might be... So you know what I found? Wiener Schnitzel. And I figured, okay, I think I can stomach that. Sounds somewhat familiar. I think I've had it, right? And then you try something new. And you learn to appreciate the new kinds of things that you experience. It's not always easy for us. But what bothers you inspires you. What annoys you challenges you. And what you need to learn about yourself, you also to begin maybe to see what kind of person you can become. It's all the road within. How can this reshape me into another person? The person that I want to be. How can I learn more about the world that I live in and about the people? I admire the Apostle Paul, and that's the reason I want this passage over again, for several reasons. One of them because he had that one central focus that he had in his life, but also not the least of which because he had this capacity to look at himself and his spiritual life as an opportunity to grow and change. Paul wasn't the same person when he started the journey as he was when he finished. Look at the corpus of his writings. You can see that he evolved from Damascus Road experience. His Christian faith didn't begin and end at his baptism. He had the courage to take his faith and he traveled with his faith. He could look at his past, but not just at his past. He could be present also in the moment, and he could also look to the future. He could be sky high with enthusiasm about what was to come. And at other moments, he could be dark and brooding and really plaintive about his life. In other words, he traveled with his faith and he let his faith change him as he traveled along the journey. In the passage we read this morning from the book of Philippians, Paul takes a look at his life. It's clear he's a man who's traveling. He lifts up his Jewish heritage. He talks about his past. And then he talks about how he found Jesus Christ. And then he excelled with religious achievement, yet none of it's important in light of God's grace. He said, all of it is in light of God's grace, nothing. This is what I've learned. God's grace is even better than anything that I've ever accomplished. I found the essence of life in Christ, he said, and yet it's still not complete. I've still got more to learn. I have people that come to me all the time and say, you know what, I've been going to Sunday school since I was 5 years old, and I'm now, 80, and so when do I ever graduate from Sunday school? You don't. There's always more to learn. There's always more to learn. There's always more God to see and understand. Always. And if you think you've got it all, you've really fooled yourself, but you haven't fooled anybody else. Because none of us have. And we're all learners. And what I try to tell people is, it's not about getting to the end, it's about taking the next step. I have people tell me, I don't want to come to your Sunday school class because you've got a doctorate. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You come to my Sunday school class. I'm not about trying to make you into me. I'm trying to help you take the next step, whatever that is. I accept you for where you are and what you know. And what I want to help you is to take the next step. Get to the next place. And then the next place. You see? Just take the next step. You don't have to get all of it. You never will get all of it. You never will. I certainly haven't. I never will. But I'm still growing and learning and understanding, and I'm still traveling, and Jesus is traveling with me, and I'm enjoying the journey, right? Gaining new understanding and new experiences. And I keep moving forward to the next place. It's something like the Grand Canyon. Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? And the Grand Canyon doesn't do it for everybody. I've talked to people, they're like, it's like a big hole in the ground. You've been to the Grand Canyon? It is. It's a big hole in the ground. It really is. Yeah. I guess it could stay a big hole in the ground. Or maybe more than that, if you can see it. Right? Thousands of people simply drive by the Grand Canyon. Sort of like, there it is, big hole in the ground, and they move right along. And you know what? You can go to Cancun, and you can go to Alaska, or Hawaii, or Japan, or Spain, and you can be there, and you can have accommodations, and you can go to the finest restaurants, but I can tell you, that doesn't always mean that you're going to experience anything like mystery, or grace, or surprise. It's there, but doesn't mean you're going to experience it. In other words, you can be on the road but never find the road within. You can travel and never touch transformation. The difference is almost always one of perspective. What we call in the church faith. Faith is openness to the surprises of God. Did you hear me? Faith is openness to the surprises of God. And God, if you believe, will always surprise you. But you have to see it, feel it, know it, experience it. In one of the essays from the book, The Road Within, Holly Morris talks about a travel experience, and she's going fishing. Anybody here like to go fishing? Anybody here? She gets up early one morning, she makes a pot of coffee, gathers her equipment, she goes off to fish. And as she goes, she starts thinking about this man in her life who loved to fish. You know who that was? It was her dad. Her father was a domineering kind of guy. You know, he'd blow up like a firecracker, send shock through the whole household. Anybody here grow up with a dad like that? She never had a good relationship with her dad. She found him intimidating and forceful, and the kind of man really that you had to work around. She couldn't relate well to him. But he grew older and more mellow in his old age, and so she says she had two. According to her brother, he was actually trying to make some changes in his life, and so she writes about sitting beside a river and fishing and thinking about her dad. And as she was casting a delicate fly upon the water, she thought about who she was and who he was. And this is what she writes: "My father's world is silent and dark. He's been as much a wonder to me as the world of forests and fish. The latter anchors my soul and offers me mysteries with depths to be plumbed. But my pulse picks up as I anticipate the unique elation that comes when a fish takes my Royal Wolf number 10 fly. It's a perfect moment. You never see them coming, and they're best had alone. I crouch and I cast and I feel the morning breeze. A good sign. Behind a boulder, a rolling hole beckons. Was that a rise? Two false casts and the first lay falls short. My second cast is close, but the fly immediately hooks a passing twig. On the third try, it lands right on the sweet spot, and the water explodes. I see the flash right before I feel the strike. The line sings. I play the fish and try to imagine her size. After 10 minutes, she's next to me, a rainbow of color down each side. I hold on to the moment, the meeting of our worlds. But I know it must be fleeting. After the rainbow is gone, I think of my brother's words about my father. He's changed. He's really trying. Come on. Why are you always making him into a bad guy? As I take off up river to fish and think for a few more hours, I wonder what would happen if I took my father fishing. I believe I will. That's the road within. Just a simple fishing trip? Maybe. Maybe not. There's a ribbon of grace runs through her story. Not just grace, but the possibility of forgiveness and an imagination of another way the world can be. And the miracle of seeing another person maybe a little differently. That's the road within, folks. It's whether or not we take a literal trip or a vacation or sit in the confines of our living room. It doesn't matter. Are you thinking about how God can change you and make you better? Are you thinking about the relationships that you have and how those relationships could be better than what they are now? Are you trying to be a better person? Are you? Or are you just stuck where you're at because you don't want to change? Sad. Well, I can't make you take the trip. You got to choose to go. And it's your choice. Stay the same. Never change. Travel. See what God has in store. Take the road within. Let God change you into who God wants you to be. Oh, so wonderful. Does it mean taking some risks? Yeah. That's the road within. I hope you'll take the journey. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to pay attention to the road within. Help us to understand that we might suffer a little bit. We might be surprised by grace. We in all things, though, Lord, that we will press on toward something profound, toward the mark of some high calling, towards someone greater than what we are now and what we've been, that we would look to you to guide us, to journey with us. Help us to grow into the people that you want for us to be. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.